This episode is sponsored by VTech.
Bienvenido al episodio de hoy. I don't know. I'm speaking in Spanish today because we have a Spanish guest. Welcome
David,
to today's
you just
episode.
Elevated above the table.
Heads in the cloud. On today's episode, we're going to be talking to Agustin Argelich, live from Barcelona. And we're going to talk about wine and telecom and what a combination that is.
We're going to talk about pets, as we always do.
Oso, gato, perro, caballo. Those are all the animals.
Did you mention we're going to talk about wine?
We're going to talk about wine, yeah. Okay. Brunello. Stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud with your hosts David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm Graham Potter.
And we're coming to you live from Sarasota, which is a feat because Graham has been traveling in Italy for the past 6 months or so. I don't know. He's been gone since early March,
it's
I feel like.
Listeners, it's actually 2 weeks, but David actually has been pining after me.
I've just been jealous looking at your pictures on Facebook and seeing that you were in Montalcino and Siena.
Montalcino
and
Luca, Rome.
All
yeah.
places that are near and dear to my heart that I love.
Yeah.
And I'm upset that I dropped a lot of hints on the last podcast or a few podcasts ago that I really like Brunello. Wine.
Well, actually,
you're back. I don't see a bottle of Brunello here.
I'm actually addicted to the stuff now. So the funny thing is, I read a wine. I get a wine magazine every month, and there was a particular Brunello that appeared in there.
Yeah.
And when I was in Montalcino, I found it.
And then you didn't bring it back for us to drink.
I bought a brace of this wine.
What is a brace?
Two. Right. And I drank them. I gave one away. I gave one away to my nephew who got married out
there. What am I, chopped liver?
And, I wouldn't travel very well.
That's not true.
You know, it would end up...
That's not true.
It would,
you could have gone to Total
it
Wine.
Up,
you could have gone to Total Wine before
substandard.
You came to this podcast. Brought, yeah. Bought a bottle of Brunello. And I brought this back for you from Italy. I would not have known the difference.
Oh, okay.
I'm upset.
Well, you should
I'm
be.
Hurt.
I guess you should be.
Next time I go on vacation...
You're not going to bring me anything back. You've only just thought about that anyway. But no, actually, it was a wonderful time. So today we have a
yeah, we're going to be joined by Agustin Argelich from live from Barcelona. I think
yeah.
I got that name right.
Yeah,
Argelich.
I always want to break out in a song when I hear Barcelona. It's like Freddie
Vicky
Mercury,
Cristina.
Isn't it? It's like Barcelona. But it's a wonderful place. And
I've never been to Barcelona.
Have you not?
And Spain is
really,
on my.
You've not already traveled a lot, have you?
I would disagree with that, but I've just never been to Spain.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I wasn't born in Europe like you.
Okay.
No, you
weren't.
I mean, I was born here, Florida.
Yeah,
I mean, for a Florida boy, I feel like I've gotten out.
Nothing wrong with that, boy. But no, good. It's looking forward to this.
So, how your trip was good?
Trip was great, and primarily out there to go to a family wedding. Not that we have any connections really with Italy, but my. My nephew got married, and they're foodies, and they love travel, and so they decided to get married in Italy, and they got married in a tiny little town, in the town hall, and so the mayor married them, and we had to sit there with an interpreter and whatever. Fascinating, but absolutely, you know.
What was the name of the town?
Pardon?
What was the name of the town?
I can't remember the name of the town we were in, but we were close to
Montalcino,
but close to both of them.
Yeah.
But a tiny, tiny little place where the wedding was. But the villa that we had the wedding in was just,
beautiful.
You know, it was like film stuff, you know, it was picture perfect. It really was beautiful. So, and then we spent time with a family we haven't seen in years, 5 years, some of them, and we went to Lucca via Siena, spent some time there with the family, and then my wife and I drove back to Rome.
Roma.
And actually bumped into Michelle and her husband Mike.
Michelle,
coffee.
Our president.
Yeah, president of Sarasar outside the Vatican.
And they were in Europe
as well.
They were
in Rome at the same time, yeah. And they're actually going to Barcelona as well.
Yes. They're in
a lot
Spain.
Of other places, so, yeah, pretty cool. Small world.
Yeah.
Small world. 5,200 something miles away.
And you meet up.
And we meet up.
Well, it's been a busy week here, a couple of weeks while you've been gone.
Yeah, I missed you, David.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been I haven't seen you wearing that shirt before.
This is a new shirt. I got a nice red shirt on.
It looks good on you, actually.
Ordered it through our shirt
ordering process.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm going into that. Yeah. That's a dumb topic. Yeah. But Les, our producer, is wearing a very similar color shirt to me. Is it the same one, Les?
You two guys must have kind of chatted this morning.
We planned it, I texted Les this morning.
What do you think, Fred? Yeah.
I said, wear your rojo.
Rojo.
Because I wanted to, getting into the Spanish.
I know you are.
Yeah. We should have had some sangria, maybe a little ham. What's a ham from Spain? What's our famous?
It's
a very
Spanish ham.
Yeah, it's a very famous. I gotta Google this. Very famous Spanish ham. I'm gonna Google it.
Oh yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, Google's there for everything. Got it.
Serrano. Oh, Iberico. Iberico. I think I'm saying that with an Italian accent.
You are actually. You're mixing your languages here.
So yeah, I mean,
you're trying to impress.
Anyways, we should have had a nice plate of charcuterie. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Some sangria.
Okay.
Les is showing me a picture of ham hanging.
Yeah, we got everything in there. We got all mod cons and what have you. So.
Yeah. But it's been a busy week. We got we're going to be going on road shows here pretty soon. Or by the time this podcast comes out, maybe we've already gone on the road shows.
You lose track of time.
It's Fred is nodding at me. Yes. So.
We're in like a time.
Yeah, we're in a time warp here.
Time warp. Yeah.
But we're going to be on the road talking to our partners, visiting them, and so it's been a fun first few months of the year here. So.
Good.
I think we should talk to Augustine now. What do you think?
I think we should do. Yeah, we're gonna
let's dial him up.
We're gonna put him on video as well.
I think we're gonna see him. Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it immensely. Actually,
so. Les, call him up.
Do it now.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All right. On today's episode, Graham and I are joined with Augustine Argelik. I'm going to butcher that name. I'm sorry, Augustine. I apologize.
You're not going to get that down correctly. No. I know that straight away. But
we're joined by Augustine live from Barcelona. And Graham, you just came back from Europe.
I just came back from Italy. So,
But, you were close enough.
We were close enough.
You could have done the podcast. You should have gone to Barcelona. And then I could have been here. That would have been our first, transcontinental, whatever. But anyways, Augustine, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to be chatting with you. It's really a pleasure, and I would like to share my my experience and hope that you can find something useful.
Absolutely,
we love that, and we'd really love to learn a little bit more about yourself, your background, your company.
Yeah, you're the president and principal consultant at Argelik Network. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do. How you work, give us a little bit of background of what you your role in the industry.
Okay, we are a independent telecom consultancy company. Really, we are a boutique, and we like to help our clients. Then these clients could be enterprises or governments, how to use the IT IT tools or the networks to improve the its business, or also when we are working with governments or with public entities, how to use the technology to create welfare and to improve the societies. As independent, what it means independent? Independent means that we advise and we help our clients without any kind of conflict of interest. So we are true independent from other different players of the market, like vendors, system integrators, carriers. So we are, what we do is really analyze or study a challenge or a problem. Cool. And look for the best solution only in the interest of our clients. So we only get fees from our clients.
Do you work with clients specifically in Spain and Europe, or do you work with clients internationally in North America and Asia Pac as well?
Of course, most of our clients has the headquarters in Spain, and most of them in the Barcelona area. But we like to work with multinational companies, so they have operations in worldwide. So we are really not only do local projects, we also like, and we help them in international projects in other countries in Europe. And also, I would like to tell you that as members of the Society of Communications Technology Consultants International, we partner with other consultants with the same ethics and with the same independent character, and then we can work in international projects. So I partner with American colleagues and help American companies how to contract, for example, how to contract telecom services in Europe or worldwide. So we also like to work in network and to build international teams to much better serve our clients.
So what is the, because, you know, in North America, you know, there is a huge broad network of competitors that are out there in the telecom space. There's a huge network of IT VARs, resellers, MSPs. What is the landscape like how do you sort of compare and contrast that to what's happening in Spain and Europe? I mean, I know it's very diversified in each sort of like by country, you know, because we actually merged with a company in Ireland back in the early 2018. And in learning how they network with partners, I know that it's very sort of country specific. So tell us a little bit about the telecom industry in Spain and the partner network in Spain and sort of how does that exist?
Yes, this is a great topic. Probably one of my and I can be talking about this. No, let me try to explain and to send some clear ideas about this topic. No?
Okay,
and there are cultural aspects. Difference between United States and Europe. In Europe, the power of the big names of the big carriers, it's very very important. I am talking also in the enterprise industry and in the public sector industry. So, big names like Telefonica, Deutsche Telekom, or Orange. Not perhaps in United Kingdom the situation is different, but in the continental Europe, in main Europe, mm-hmm. the carriers has a lot of influence in the enterprises, no? So most of the big clients of the multinationals are not prefer to work or to contract services directly to the carriers. Mm-hmm. So the carrier, it's perhaps too big. It's perhaps too big in Europe, and this is still stopping innovation. Because I feel we in Europe are sometimes too conservative. For example, the unified communications market in United States, it's very aggressive, and there are a lot of projects regarding this area. And it's not the same situation in, especially in Spain, of course. In Europe, each country has difference. For example, here in my country, the economical crisis have been very deep, so this has stopped innovation. In America, you are deploying, I don't know how many different solutions with unified communication tools.
Hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. It's massive.
And also cloud-based solutions and cloud-based contact centers and an interaction between the clients. And for example, in Spain, there are a lot, too many TDM, PBX is still working.
Well, there's still a lot of those out in the States as well, but the market is moving very, very rapidly.
The numbers we get from folks like Gartner and Frost and Sullivan is that only maybe a third of, or maybe even less in North America, of companies have switched from a PBX to cloud. So, I mean, it's still rapidly growing.
Yes, I think that here the enterprises, mm-hmm. Are losing significant opportunities, because really if you want to transform digitally your company, all the tools are available to do this. Eh?
Sure.
And the key point a true digital transformation of a company needs the support of the top level managers of the company.
Yep.
And really, the issue or the problem why we are going sometimes, for me, in my opinion, too slow in the deployment of these new tools, is because there is a perhaps this is not very polite to explain. No, there is a lack of authority in the companies, or a lack of leadership.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
A lack of leadership, and when you want to transform digitally a company, and for example, you want to change your the way you are selling your services, and you want to install to promote more the e-commerce and to deploy a big customer interaction center. This means a change of power inside the company. Eh? And this is not easy to manage.
No, it's difficult to get buy-in from people in the company, but it has to start from the top of the business.
You need a good sponsor.
Yes, you do. Exactly.
And here is the challenge of the industry.
Yeah.
If the challenge of the industry, then we need to try to be in contact with the top level. I think this in Europe is especially a problem. Eh? Because as consultant, we have been working for years with the chief information office, but this is not enough. Eh? We need also to talk and be in contact and discuss with the business people, eh? Because we are talking more about business than more about technology. And with the cloud solutions, the technical aspects are less important, because the provider will solve a lot of problems than were that in the past must be solved internally by the people of the IT departments. Eh?
Yeah.
So all these changes means change of roles, mean change of powerful, means so it's this is where really. I guess is the challenge of the industry. This is and this is one of my preferred topics. This is why I am also spending some time talking about project management and talking about leadership. Eh?
Sure.
And
you have a book as well, apparently.
He's an author.
Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Yes, as I am telecom engineer as background. Eh?
Right.
So. But after 30 years in the industry, leading projects, sometimes very big projects, for example, the Barcelona 92 Olympic Games.
Very cool.
I was the director of the nine Paralympic Games, Barcelona 92. It was a really great experience.
That's amazing.
And also working in different industries, really. Today, as consultant or as a project leader, it's not enough to have a good knowledge of the technology. You also need to have good skills in how to manage or how to lead persons. No, because the human factor, it's very
huge.
Very important.
Yeah,
it's very important. So this is the reason why I feel the need to write a book with my experience.
I bet you did, yeah.
Trying to help others in best leadership or best management practices. Not only as a professional, also as for your family, because there are a lot of things that you can use both in the and your professional and in your personal life.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people
your book
is called
Analyze, Act, Advance.
Yeah, that's available.
You can get that. Can I get a copy of that on Amazon? Or
Yes. The digital copy is free.
Ah.
It's in English. It's in English and in Spanish, because I I was perhaps too disruptive, and I it's a self-published book.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is not a traditional publisher, because I want to remain being the owner of the rights. Eh?
Okay.
So I want to manage the book in by my own.
So yeah. so we would, as a result of you doing this podcast with us, which is very gracious and kind of you, we'd like to give you a very pristine t-shirt, a Heads in the Cloud t-shirt. Or maybe we could somehow get an autograph copy of your book.
Well, if it's a digital version, how are you going to get an autograph copy?
Well, maybe just sends us a signature through the mail or something.
like an Adobe PDF?
Yeah, maybe. It's got more value to it.
Yes, it's electronic, yeah.
Yeah.
Sign a piece of paper, scan that, and send it over.
Yeah, that'll do nicely. So again, really interesting for our listeners. It's wonderful to have an international guest on such as yourself. Tell our listeners what life's like living in Barcelona. Do you live in more of a town basis, or do you live on the outskirts? What's life like?
I really live in downtown Barcelona, just one block from La Pedrera. So
wow.
I have my home and my office in the same building, in just in downtown Barcelona. So I am a urban guy.
Yeah, good.
And I usually use the public transport system, and my car is parked. Completely different life than in America. Then you need the car to go to.
Yeah, you probably don't need the car at all, do you? You probably
no. Yeah. I can. My car can be parked for weeks, and I can go walking, or I can use the public transport system to arrive to the office of most of my clients, and
that's perfect.
It's very comfortable to live in downtown. I don't have a garden. I don't have a garden in my home like in America. But
you'd be surprised. We don't have gardens either. Don't worry.
In a Florida home, you might have a garden, but you really want to work out there in the temperature, and you have someone to kind of do that for you, and mow the yard. Not that we're lazy, but it's so hot.
Yes, no, but we also have Barcelona is really a nice place to live.
Sure.
Yes. Because you can in summer you go to the beach, in winter you can go to ski only to the Pyrenees, only 2 hours by car, and
life is good.
So are you a football fan? Are you a big Barcelona football fan?
Not really, but of course, this is part of the brand.
It's part of the life, right? Yes.
Yes. but perhaps we are people. It's very passionate about.
Yes. Huh? Yes. Yeah, well, especially when you have Messi and things like that.
Oh yes.
Absolutely.
But I am more passionate about to travel around the world and to.
Where do you like to travel to?
Things like I have just been in India.
Oh, great! Because, whereabouts?
Yes, because I am also a member of a think tank, a very interesting think tank. It's the Intelligent Community Forum. Eh?
Cool.
Intelligent Community Forum. It's also a North American based think tank with headquarters in New York, but this think tank. It's about how to build, thanks to the IT technology, how to build much better societies. Okay?
Very cool.
Eh? And I have been invited to speak about data driven cities in India with the people who is with the urban planners who are designing the new cities, or the deployment of the cities in India. Eh?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
incredible place to visit. Incredible place.
Yeah.
I've spent time over there. Yes. How do you like the cuisine? How do you like the food? The best. It's awesome.
I disagree.
In summary, what is really amazing is when you are going to a place like this and you can be in contact with locals, not for tourism, no?
Yes.
You are being there, sharing ideas, sharing expertise.
Yeah.
Really, you learn much more than you teach. Eh?
Yes, you do.
Eh? So you are. It's supposed that you are going there to teach something, but really you are going there to understand, to much better understand the planet, how complex is, how huge are the problems or the difficulties than other countries are facing. And really, I believe about international cooperation and collaboration. And I think that the future, in the future, not in the future, now, if you want to really to solve a problem, you need to build a multicultural and multidisciplinary team. Mm-hmm. Because creativity is about find connections between things that apparently has no connection at all between them. So this is why you need different point of views. Different point of views, no? And I am very lucky to have the opportunity, thanks to the international the Intelligent Community Forum, to visit other countries and try to understand other cultures. At the same time, then we explain which IT tools are available. To improve the society, because the really telecom networks, unified communications are tools that can help and can help are critical, in my opinion, are critical to create welfare and prosperity in the countries, no? But the Intelligent Community Forum, it's not only about technology, it's about build a green economy, it's about equality, it's about education, it's about innovation, it's about advocacy of this culture of continuous improvement. This is one of the key ideas of my book, that you can never stop, and never stop, because when you have solved a problem, the ecosystem around you changes very quick. And you must be monitoring. You must be monitoring the results you are getting, because you will be obligated to change the process, because the ecosystem is changing. Then you will get different results than expected. So you must be always monitoring what you are getting and trying to improve. So you must be. It's an ongoing process.
Cool. Yeah.
So when you were in India and you're looking at these sort of like these new cities, what are the kinds of things that they're planning for? Like what are some of the things that as consumers we're going to see in the next 10, 20 years in these cities, and how is that going to affect how we travel, how we communicate, and how we live?
It's clear that people it's moving to the cities.
Mm-hmm.
So the cities will be very, very, very important. And my vision is that each city will be competing with other cities,
mm-hmm.
not competing with other countries. And so if your city is able to attract talent to your to it,
yes.
Then the economy will be growing. Sorry,
no worries. So what are some of the things
and so cities must attract not only local people, also international people, and you must become a hub of different industries.
Mm-hmm.
So for this networks are key. Networks are key, and this is it's great. My vision is that networks and telecom is fueling international cooperation, and this is very, very, very good. Despite that, it seems that there are that some countries wants to protect themselves and to close. I think that with the international cooperation, less worse. So I am very optimistic. I think that we have the best tools that the humanity have ever had in the past.
Yeah.
So if we have the right leadership, the not only the telecom industry, also other industries and the economy in the world will be grow and we are able to build a much better
absolutely planet for all. That's cool. Well, one of the things we always like to ask our guests.
Yeah, and I know we've taken up an awful lot of your time, and I know you're a very, very busy guy. Then you got to get back to the
siesta, to the beach, right?
Yeah. To the beach, and enjoy
tapas,
the weather, and you know,
gotta have some cerveza.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a nice Rioja wine,
a sangria.
We're
just very jealous.
Yeah. Yes, I always when I am traveling to United States, I always take with me some Rioja because it's the best way to sign an agreement, eh? With the Rioja.
All right. So forget the digital version of your signature. We'll send you the shirt. You send us some wine, and that we'll be fine with that.
So here's a question that David loves to ask people.
I always like to know, do you have any pets? Maybe a perro, a gato, oso, caballo? What kind of animal do you have in your house?
Now you're showing off, David.
Oh, not really. I have no animals at home. I have six kids. Eh?
Oh, really? Six?
Yes.
Oh, you got half a football team there.
Yes, I have a big family, so I...
Wow.
I don't need any kind of animal.
Oh, that's awesome! So, how old are the children? What age range?
They are old. The older one is 29, and the younger one it's 15. I have four boys and two daughters.
Okay,
that's amazing. That's awesome.
That's young to me. I'm the old guy. So you know, this is the young guy. He's got the young children. I've got the children that are
kind of similar age, you know, to him. You have children in their early 30s.
37, 38.
I thought your son was younger.
My son's, he's 32, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so, he's 29. Yeah, so.
But now only two are living with us at home.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The two younger, no? The two of them are in Madrid. One is the older one is engineer. He's working in Accenture as consultant.
That's very cool.
The second one is architect. She's also working in a studio in Madrid. The third one is living in London.
Oh, really? Whereabouts in London?
Yes, he's working in the city.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's where I started work years and years ago in the 70s in the city of London for British Telecom. So many years ago.
1903, I think the year was.
1923.
So
that's great.
I think one of the questions you sent to me, it's about how to manage the different roles that you have. No, I think today it's a really great challenge to manage between your personal and your professional.
Absolutely, yes,
it is.
And your professional life. And for me, it's also a great challenge to balance my traditional consultancy services, more focused on networks, on telecom, on engineering. And also my role as mentor or as a leadership professor, no? Because really today I really enjoying more much my role as a speaker or as teacher or as mentor than my traditional role as project manager or consultant, no?
Yeah, that's exciting.
This is why I am writing and I am more lecturing and doing things like this. I think this is a natural evolution of my career.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
Well, Augustine, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, great.
We're very jealous.
Great
that you're
to see
in
you.
Barcelona.
Like you're in the,
I know.
You're in the room with
it's
us.
It's great. We've got a virtual conference going on. Let's talk about telecommunications right now.
Yeah, I mean, I got to get a picture of this.
You going to take a picture?
I'm going to take a picture.
All right.
We're going to get our producer to take a picture as well. So here we go.
Okay, smile.
Smile.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much. We'll be in
touch.
Thank
you so much.
Great conversation with you. Thank you very much.
And if you're ever in the States, hit us up.
If you come
down to Florida, we'd love to have you at our office. So.
But don't forget to bring that Rioja wine with you.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, of course.
And we'll bring the fresh fish. Don't worry about that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
This episode is sponsored by VTech.
When you choose Star2Star and VTech for your communication needs, you get more than just a phone system. You're building a relationship with two telecommunications market leaders. No matter what your communication needs, VTech offers a comprehensive and diverse portfolio of desktop, mobility, and conference devices that scale from small offices to enterprise-level corporations. Peace of mind is important to you, and that's why VTech supports your business and Star2Star with North America-based support professionals that truly understand your market to give you the support you need. To learn more about partnering with Star2Star and VTech, visit star2star.com and vtechphones.com.
That was a great interview with Augustine.
Yeah,
Augustine.
I can't get the name right.
I'm struggling with his name.
Struggling with the name.
Yeah,
Augustine. I can't get it right either. But yeah, fascinating.
Our
gentleman.
Spanish friend.
Really good to be able to see him. We're live here on in the studio.
It always makes it easier when you can see the person.
So much, more personable and coming from his office.
Yeah.
And I thought very cool thing, the fact that he lives and he's in
downtown.
Downtown and he's working from the same venue there and living in the same venue. I mean, and no requirement really for a car. What a wonderful experience.
I wish it was the same thing here in Florida, but indeed. No. You have to have a car to go anywhere.
But yeah, really, really good. Fascinating background, interesting gentleman. Enjoyed talking to him.
So, Graham.
David.
Are you planning any other trips throughout for the rest of the year?
That's on a need-to-know basis.
Oh, okay. Jeez, okay.
Well, no, I haven't actually got anything planned, but no, that was a wonderful trip. So, no, I haven't got anything planned at this point in time, but who knows?
You know, I was thinking about Augustine. I think is he our third international guest?
Yeah, I think he is. So we talked to guy in
Israel. Yeah,
we had CH here from VTech.
Yeah,
the president live.
Yeah,
he's from Hong Kong. And
Augustine, and then Augustine. But Frederick's telling me at four. Where's the fourth?
Who's the fourth?
Oh, he can't remember.
He can't remember either.
He's telling me at four though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we have someone in like the Netherlands, or I think we had someone who was Dutch.
I don't think we had.
I think we did.
I got some Dutch contacts. If you want to get some Dutch,
no, Frederick's. Frederick's looks like he's got his.
Alan.
Okay.
And a group CEO.
He's from Ireland. From Dublin, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But you're already talking to kind of.
It's feel like I'm just talking to Graham at that point.
Without the Guinness.
More of a warm English stout.
Nice. Very nice, too.
Poured on nitro.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a nice English beer.
Okay, cool. Beer's off the table for me at the moment. Are you running? I'm in. No.
Oh, because you're into the Brunellos.
I've been running for.
You know, I just got to let you know. Before you went to Italy, I talked about the Brunellos. You didn't know nothing about Brunellos.
No, I didn't actually.
And now you come back and you're like a Brunello expert.
It's not a wine that I'd spent much time around, but I have to say it was very good.
You know, they're not cheap here in the States. If you want to buy
they're not cheap over there.
Yeah, but if you want to, if you go to Total Wine, you want to buy a bottle of Brunello, it's like $50.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a little steep for me. I'm more on the $12 wine.
Well, the
but maybe if we have a Brunello sponsor out there who wants to sponsor this podcast,
maybe
send us the Brunello. We will taste it on the podcast and then we'll rate it.
Well, I think what you got to do is you got to put this up against Augustine's Rioja, in Spain, and we need a
wine sponsor.
We'll do a bake off. We do actually.
Frederick, could you work on getting us a wine sponsor? Wink.
Done.
Okay. Awesome. All right.
We would love to sponsor. We'd love to have a wine sponsor.
I think we would.
We'll rate it. We'll recommend it.
Maybe do a free thing right now.
I don't do free. I don't do free anything.
Maybe they'll appreciate it in wine. Send you a stylophone.
The bargaining chip that we have is these priceless Egyptian cotton heads in the cloud
t-shirts. And millions of listeners.
And millions of listeners around the world. And I mean, these T-shirts are getting around. My daughter bumped into somebody in a pizza restaurant here in Sarasota.
Okay, that hasn't gotten around anywhere.
T-shirt.
We're in Sarasota.
And she thought it was you.
Well, I don't wear the shirt outside of work. I don't wear the shirt outside of work. I don't want to have my head next to yours anyway.
That's not what your little lad said. He likes my picture.
He did.
Yeah, it's fine. All righty.
All right. Is that it for today?
That's it for today.
Are we done?
We're done.
I think we talked about a lot of wine.
We did.
And a lot of... I just want some of that Brunello now.
Interesting stuff. Anyway.
Adios.
Adios.
Sweet. My friends. No, that's Italian. We need to... Arriba!
Goodbye now.